on to the 70th edition of Wednesdays with the Patriot Hour. This is Sir Malachi, and we are live at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, May 12, 2010. And that was Rule Britannia in honor of the UK elections this past Tuesday.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, no, Cameron, you're gonna like what Cameron had to say in his first day as Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Rachel.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. Rule Britannia, absolutely. God save the Queen, all that good stuff. I loved every minute of it.
Yep.
I know that a lot of conservatives are like, oh, he's not conservative enough. Shut up. I'm telling you, shush it. He's not ours to worry about. But he's ours to work with. Good things are going to happen here. I'm sure of it. At least England will get their sovereignty back, and as we'll get into, Mal, he means it. He means it. So does Clegg. Cutting off the old ties with Brussels, are we? I like it. Ooh.
Yeah. And Clegg, I was reading that to you today, this afternoon, about the Liberal Democrats, and they do sound like our Libertarian Party. I like some of their ideas.
Yeah. Very libertarian, very classical liberal. You know, as we always say here, politics is not linear, it's circular. They are classical liberal. Sure, they are. Well, you know, some of their policies we would be like knee-jerk. Oh, God, they're too liberal, socialist. Yeah, they are. But again, that's Britain. But when we got into basically what he stood for, Clegg and his party, and Cameron, it seems to be a very good fit. And Cameron, wow. I'll tell you, the first thing he said today, I loved it this morning. Term limits for Parliament. Yes, you heard me right.
Yep.
Term limit Parliament. I was like, woo! Hallelujah! And as far as Brussels, he informed Brussels, meaning the EU, the power flow from London to Brussels is now cut. There will be no transferring anymore of power from the people of Britain to Brussels. Oh, it's a good thing and it's a good day. And I wish them both all the success they're going to need because they know they're on the debt list. Things are coming for them and they've got some serious changes now. Do you have that open briefly? You could tell him something.
Which one?
The one on the prime, Cameron and Clegg have up their sleeve.
Yeah.
That you read. Or do you remember anything besides the Parliament?
Besides?
Have?
Well, hang on a second here. Now I can. The little Democrat.
Sure.
What is Liberal Democrat?
Meaning Clegg.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we're referring to because Clegg is going to be Cameron's deputy prime minister. It's not like being a co-prime minister. It's more of a figurehead than anything else. But he needed to do this in order to get their support. And I'll be honest with you. Talk about Devo. Oh, gosh. Clegg is a diva, and you have to wonder, he's Mr. More Ambition and Ego than he is anything else. But in politics, we use what we have. And I can see Cameron using Clegg's ego quite well for his benefit. Because he was the only one so far in the major cabinet in the front bench that he appointed to be in
right.
His, quote, cabinet. So, solid
well, Clegg's
conservative
the deputy prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is. Conservative Liberal Democrat Coalition Negotiations Agreements reached on May 11th, yesterday. The document sets out agreements between the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats on a range of issues. These are issues that needed to be resolved between us in order for us to work together as a strong and stable government. It will be followed in due course by a final coalition agreement covering the full range of policy, including foreign defense and domestic policy issues not covered in this document. deficit reduction. The parties agreed that deficit reduction and continuing to ensure economic recovery is the most urgent issue facing Britain. We have therefore agreed that there will be need to be a significantly accelerated reduction in the structural deficit over the course of a parliament, with the main burden of deficit reduction borne by reduced spending rather than increased taxes. Arrangements that will protect those on low incomes from the effect of public sector pay constraint and other spending constraints, and protection on jobs by stopping labor's proposed jobs tax. Spending review. This is for National Home Security, Schools, and Affairs Society. Parties agree. I'm just reading parts of these. The parties agree that a full spending review should be held, reporting this autumn, following a fully consulted process involving all tiers of government and the private sector. The parties agree that funding for the NHS should increase in real time terms in each year of the parliament, while recognizing the impact this decision would have on other departments. The target is spending of 0.7% of GNI, which is the same as our GDP, and overseas aid will also remain in place. Tax measures. The parties agree that the personal amount for income tax should be increased in order to help lower and middle income earners. We agreed to announce in the first budget a substantial increase in the personal amount from April 2011, with the benefits focused on those with lower and middle incomes. This will be funded with the money that would have been used to pay for the increase in employee national insurance thresholds proposed by the Conservatives, as well as their revenues from increases in capital gains tax rates for non-business assets as described below. The increase in employer national insurance thresholds proposed by the Conservatives will go ahead in order to stop labor's jobs tax. We also agreed to a longer-term policy objective of further increasing the personal allowance to £10,000, making further real-term steps each year towards this objective. Banking reform. The parties agree that reform to the banking system is essential to avoid a repeat of labor's financial crisis, to promote a competitive economy, to sustain the recovery, and to protect and sustain jobs. We agree that a banking levy will be introduced. We will seek a detailed agreement on implementation. We agree to bring forward detailed proposals for robust action, tactful, unacceptable bonuses in the financial services sector. In developing these proposals, we will ensure they are effective in reducing risk. Immigration, we have agreed that there should be an annual limit on the number of non-EU economic migrants admitted into the UK to live and work. We will consider jointly the mechanism for implementing the limit. We will end the detention of children for immigration purposes. And that's the whole immigration reform there. Just two or three sentences. Political reform, the parties agree this is where they want limits. Agree to establish a 5-year fixed-term parliament. In other words, you can only serve 1 5-year term.
Cool.
In the House, both houses, the Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition government will put a binding motion before the House of Commons in the first days following this agreement, stating that the next general election will be held on the first Thursday of May 2015. Following the motion, legislation will be brought forward to make provision for fixed-term parliaments of 5 years. This legislation will also provide for dissolution if 55% or more of the House votes in favor. Pensions and welfare. The parties agree to phase out the default retirement age and hold a review to set the date at which the state pension age starts to rise to 66, although it will not be sooner than 2016 for men and 2020 for women.
Phase
now,
it
that's
in.
Weird.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Why would they? Why pick two different years though? We agreed to end 2016 for men and 2020 for women. We agreed to end the rules requiring compulsory annuitization at 75. Education. Schools, we agree to promote the reform of schools in order to ensure that new providers can enter the state school system in response to parental demand, that all schools have greater freedom over curriculum, and that all schools are held properly accountable higher education. We await Lord Brown's final report into higher education funding, and will judge his proposal against the need to increase social mobility, take into account the impact on student debt, ensure a properly funded university sector, improve the quality of teaching, advance scholarship, and attract a higher proportion of students from disadvantaged backgrounds. Yeah. If the response of the government to Lord Brown's report is one that liberal Democrats cannot accept, then arrangements will be made to enable liberal Democrat MPs to abstain in any vote. Relations with the EU. We agree that the British government will be a positive participant in the European Union, playing a strong and positive role with our partners with the goal of ensuring that all the nations of Europe are equipped to face the challenges of the 21st century. Global competitiveness, global warming, global poverty. Well, forget the global warming crap.
That's social democrat crap.
Yeah, and then civil liberties. Parties agreed to implement a full program of measures to reverse the substantial erosion of civil liberties under the Labour government and roll back state intrusion. This will include a freedom or great repeal bill, the scrapping of ID card scheme, the national ID identity register, the next generation of biometric passports, and the contact point database, outlawing the fingerprinting of children at school without parental permission, the extension of the scope of the Freedom of Information Act to provide greater transparency, adopting the protections of the Scottish model for the DNA database, the protection of historic freedoms through the defense of trial by jury, the restoration of rights to nonviolent protest, the review of libel laws to protect freedom of speech, safeguards against the misuse of anti-terrorism legislation, further regulation of CCTV, ending of storage of internet and email records without good reason, a new mechanism to prevent the proliferation of unnecessary new criminal offenses. I don't know what that CCTV is.
CCTV is what they have in the
closed
cameras. They call it CCTV. It's the cameras they have everywhere.
Environment. The parties agree to implement a full program measure to fulfill our joint ambitions for a low carbon. Well, that I don't agree with any of that. But I'm going to put the link to it, to their website, to this, and you can read it for yourself.
Look what they did in the course of 2 or 3 days. It's astounding to me. Absolutely astounding. Now, granted.
Hey, Rachel, look who's in the chat room.
Well, hello.
Our old buddy,
hi.
Mike. Mike Burkholder.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing,
so
Mike?
Open. Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Clegg has said weeks ago, that if Cameron won, more than likely he would form the government with him, Clegg said to Cameron. And, of course, this was in the works for a while. But look how quickly this was all done. Now, I love my country, and I love my form of government. But when I saw, and I've sat through many transfers of prime ministers, but for some reason this one just captured me. Brown resigns. 10 minutes later, Cameron's in a car going up saying hi to QE2. 15 minutes later, he's prime minister. Government switch. Government change. End of discussion. The media didn't sit there and talk about bipartisanship. They didn't worry about all of this. The European media sat back and said, well, what are we going to expect? They asked questions. They didn't demand that their will be done. We can learn a lot. But when he said this morning, quite bluntly and clearly, the power flow from England to Brussels is done. It's what we've warned and said here for a year now. Sovereignty all over the world is happening. Now, I watched Hardball, as everybody knows. I watched Chris Matthews. Like him or not, he is a politically, he knows what he's saying.
Yeah.
And tonight he said this. For the Democrats not to look at what's going on worldwide is a mistake. Because it isn't about tea bags and it isn't about tea parties. Something globally has happened. We've said that for now 2 years. Of course it has. You cannot continue to take the rights away from the citizenry. You can't do it. The electorate in these countries, and especially in democracies, they're very, very slow. We want them to be quick, just like the transfer of government in the UK. We want it to be very quick, but it's slow. And we gave them power as a whole, let's say globally in these countries. All right, you know what? Let's do it your way. Let's try the socialist way. But decades later, they realize it's an epic fail. But the governments, for some reason, aren't hearing that. Hence why you get the absolute shock that Bob Bennett was knocked out in Utah. Or the shock last night that the Democrat was knocked out in the primary. I believe it was it North Carolina or New Hampshire? I'm not sure which. Why? What's happening? Now, some say it's anti-incumbent. I don't know. I think it's a royal change, just what we have been clamoring here for. I don't want to know the name of the person. I want it to be Joe Smith from Depew, New York, for example, somebody I don't even know. That's what's happening. Now, Cameron and Clegg got it. They're like, all right, You know what? They got it. Look at how quickly that happened. Here in Congress, we don't do things like that. And again, I'm not saying I want my government changed to a parliamentary system. Hell no, and triple hell no.
I would like to see a term limit, though.
Oh, wasn't that great, Mel?
Yeah. They want a regular election every 5 years.
And for Parliament, that's huge for them to do that, because remember,
if
in Europe.
If they pass it, yeah.
And I think they will. I think they will. I think it's a wonderful idea. I was never for it before, because I always believed the Constitution was the term limit, that the American people have the right to self-term limit, in other words. But they don't use it. So we're going to do it for them. We have no choice. Then we can take a look at it. Or we can demand that certain people who run self-term limit, such as, not Kucinich, the guy from Ohio.
Fredo.
No.
Fredo,
John,
yeah, he used to do that. He used to be in the budget office, too.
Goodness, I'm sorry, guys. Begins with a K.
Yeah.
West Virginia, thank you, Mike, the Democrat.
No, he's not from West Virginia. He was from Ohio because he lives in Columbus. Yeah.
No, he's talking about the Democrat that lost the seat in the
primary.
West Virginia,
yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
We were talking about that this afternoon.
It's happening everywhere. Before we get into it, Mel, should we do the
economics? Oh, John Casey.
That's it, my friend. Yes, Kasich. I could never remember his name. He did it himself. He's self-term limited. Is this what I want? You're darn right I do.
Yeah.
This is why I know John McCain will fall. He will fall.
Yeah.
It's time for all of them to go. You know what I did tonight? It's quickly. When I get in these kind of moods, and this is going to sound strange to everyone, I always bring up Ronald Reagan. Now, I don't do this because I worship the man. I do it because of, again, what he brought out from me, not because I worship any man. I don't. We're there again. And as we talk about the economy, and we're going to get into that a little bit, I got a clip about gold, which I want everyone to really pay attention to. We're back in the 70s. We're back not only there economically and socially, but we're back there emotionally as a nation. And I think globally, don't you, Mel? I think there's a depression all around this globe. And it was a man called Ronald Reagan that gave us the opportunity here in this country to stop it, to grow up, to shake it off, and to reclaim it. But in order to do that, like I always say, you can't go from Declaration to Constitution. There's a middle ground called the Revolution. And that's where we are now. But we're going to recall the 70s, why gold is rising. It's important for you to know, and know this is not an infomercial for gold. Okay?
And it closed today at 1243, another new high.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
And it was shot up.
Of the cash in her gold.
It shot up 31 just today.
$31, yeah.
Mm.
And we keep getting, and we're at a, and euros at all time low, $1.26.
Yeah.
Sensitive.
Way to buy those euros.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go. Don't take any investment advice from Ghost, because he bought euros at $1.50.
Don't take any advice from anybody economically. You go find out on your own.
Exactly.
You go find. Yeah.
The safest bet is gold, silver, platinum, and all that kind of stuff. Radium and not radium, whatever. Palladium and stuff.
Palladium,
okay, here's
the
clip about gold.
Back now to the record climb in gold. Joining us, Golden Boy, Euro Pacific Capital President Peter Schiff. He is author. The latest book, Why an Economy Grows and Why it Crashes. And, of course, as the economies in Europe look like they're crashing, we see gold going to new heights. Peter, do I sell into the gold market at this point, or do I hold on to what I have?
You buy more. You know, what's happening is that governments are trying to make it so that investors can't lose. You know, if you buy Greek government debt, don't worry about a default because we're going to bail them out. Just like here in America, you know, if you own mortgages, don't worry. We're going to bail out Freddie and Fannie. If you loan money to an investment bank and they fail, don't worry. Bailouts for everyone. But, you know, the government doesn't have a magic wand. They can't make losses disappear. All they can do is change the form of those losses. So what's going to happen? Instead of investors losing money, the money is going to lose value. The problem is that affects everybody who owns the currency, not just the people who made bad investments. And so people are starting to figure this out. They want to mitigate those losses in the future. And so they're selling their euros, they're selling their dollars, and they're buying real money, which is gold, which is silver. I think prices are still very cheap. I think they're going a lot higher. I think eventually everybody is going to own gold. It's just the longer they wait, the more it's going to cost them to buy it and the fewer ounces they're going to own.
By the way, we're here to talk about gold, but for a second, talk about oil. For so long, the price of oil has been reflective of the price of gold, more than certainly more than anything else, or the relationship between the price of gold and the price of the dollar. Why do you think oil is going down so dramatically?
You know, I'm still very bullish on oil, and I think oil and industrial metals will rise, but right now, this is more of a monetary move in gold and an anticipatory move. You know, gold is the most liquid of the commodities. If you're worried about inflation and you want to store your wealth, you don't do it in barrels of oil. You do it in gold bullion. It's very easy to store. It's portable. It's liquid. And so people are trying to protect themselves right now. Oil prices, other metal prices will eventually move. They will catch up. They are going a lot higher. The cost of living in the United States is literally going to go through the roof.
Yeah.
It is going to become very expensive for Americans to eat.
But one final point on oil, though, if you are bullish on oil, if you think eventually they will rise together again, why not buy in the dip in oil right now?
I own a lot of oil. You know, I own oil. I own gold.
Are you doubling your bet now?
I made significant investments personally in oil drilling up in North Dakota, where I'm investing myself and clients' money in drilling projects, you know, here in the Bakken region in North Dakota. I am extremely bullish on oil. I think it's going to take out the highs, you know, of $150 a barrel. And, you know, if you look where gold is now, yeah, gold is at a new high, but silver is still below its high from March of 08. Gold stocks are still below their highs from March of 08. The speculators aren't even in this market. It is amazing to me that gold is still so cheap. That's how few people have actually figured this
so
out.
So cheap. $1,245 is cheap on gold.
Well, considering all the money that's been printed, it is dirt cheap. And all the money that's going to be printed. Remember, we have decided in America that we are going to keep interest rates artificially low indefinitely, no matter how high inflation gets. The government is so afraid of letting banks fail, letting Wall Street firms fail, of letting real estate prices go down.
Or even foreign banks fail, or Greece fail. I mean, you name it, they want to bail it out.
Well, but we don't even have the money to bail people out. The money that we're going to give to the IMF, we're borrowing that from China.
That's
or
right.
We're simply printing it.
No, okay, right,
this whole thing is a con game. The politicians around the world are working together to scam the people. They want to keep getting reelected. They don't want to be the bearers of bad news.
Well, the people
tell
are waking
them they've
up.
Led them down the primrose path.
Peter, the people are waking up. To that point, by the way, you wouldn't be running if you didn't think they were. There are changes that are happening in the political sphere. What happens if somebody comes along a year from now and says, okay, we're going to go back to linking the U.S. dollar to gold? What happens to a huge gold pile then?
Well, eventually, if we do go back on a gold standard, it will be with a much higher price of gold. There's no way to link the dollar to gold without gold being much higher. I mean, gold
how
is going to have to be revalued.
If you wanted to do that today, how high would gold have to go?
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be, you know, I think it'd be at least 5,000, maybe more, to try to, you know, reset the link that the dollar had. You know, when the dollar was last decoupled from gold, it was $42 an ounce, right. And that was in 1971. But, you know, we've printed so much money since then. We've expanded the money supply so dramatically, whereas we haven't expanded the gold supply. And if you look at the amount of gold that's actually owned by central banks, it's tiny. You know, central banks need to buy a lot of gold. They've been selling gold for years. Meanwhile, we haven't mined a lot of gold.
All right, so, Peter, we have to go by. I just got to ask you, before the end of the year, how high will gold be? You want to make a guess?
You know, I've been underestimating. I thought gold would be stronger than it has been. I thought it would have been 2,000 much sooner. So I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I've overestimated the intelligence of the average investor to figure this out. So I don't know. You know, maybe it'll hit 1,500 by the end of the year. Maybe it can get to 2,000. It's hard to know.
Don't insult
go
the
there.
Average investor,
go.
Though. The average investor knows a lot more than those idiots in Washington, believe me.
They
That's
should
right.
be buying. And I know, you know, I'm in the process of launching a new company, Europe Pacific Precious Metals.
Okay.
It's still not fully open yet, but we tried to buy some maple leaves for some people. They were all sold
it's
out.
Impossible.
We called a couple of large suppliers. We couldn't even get them.
Peter, we got to leave it at that. Peter Schiff, wonderful to see you again. How to profit from the economic.
And cha-ching. Yeah, cha-ching. And there's I got about a 1 minute clip here of Rick Santelli talking about the stock market and how it's what do they call it? What do they call that?
Manipulated?
Nah, it's manipulated. Yeah. Manipulated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me say that we are including him in the reform. That's another misnomer. We're going to do
misnomer.
The Fannie and Freddie reform. It's just that we can't do it in
just
this present
now.
Bill.
But you understand,
we don't
election,
have the time
after
in the
election.
No, no,
after
it has nothing to do with the election. It's too complicated.
Well,
already people are complaining that a 1,600-page bill of regulatory reform is
too complicated. You think taxpayers that go to work to pay the money you're subsidizing, it's going to end up a $500 billion. You think that they think complicated is an excuse?
Well, they did with the Health Care Act. That was part of the reactions they had to. I think we have to make
right.
sure.
And that was too complicated. We have all these unintended consequences.
Right.
You know, one line in 99's deregulation created a lot of the over-the-counter derivatives. You have 26 pages of those one-liners who make Henny Youngman rise up from his grave.
Yeah, but, too complicated. The health bill wasn't complicated. Yeah, it was a lot of pages, but it wasn't complicated.
I read it. I understood it. Remember, all bills are written for an eighth grade reading level. Did everyone know? Does everyone know that, by the way? Everything in the government is written for an eighth grade reading level. They do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about gold, why is it important? And I'm not like one on these commercials here. I'm not G. Gordon Liddy. So we lived through the 70s. I can't tell you how we are mimicking that. The price of food right now, you know, is expensive. It's going to triple. I remember driving around with my father on odd and even days to the gas station.
If his license plate was odd,
he went. If it was even, how many fights and lines? Lines all the way down the block just to get a tank of gas. We'd go to Canada to get gas. True. All true. I remember going into the supermarket. This is in the 70s, and my mother saying, okay, kids, run, get the sugar. Now, some of you out there might think, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not. Bread, you could very well find it rarely. It would be gone within hours. Milk, gone within hours. This is coming here to this country, and Americans damn well better stop thinking that they're always something special and that it'll never occur here. We lived through it. Where spaghetti was 5 days a week. Yeah. You lived on pasta and hamburger. So for those of us that have been there and those of us that are not, quote, wealthy, this won't hit us hard. We'll be fine. We can live on ramen forever. It doesn't bother us. But there's a substantial population out there, Mel, that maybe be a little above us in monetary or salary that are going to take this like an affront. Too bad. You know what? And I'm talking to certain conservatives out there that like to mock those that don't have a lot of money. You're about to receive an education of a lifetime. So if you need any ramen recipes, give me a call. It's coming. Gold jumped 32. Gold's been jumping now since.
Big.
Right. Yeah. Since what, though? Since the European, quote, bailout. Now,
yep.
You know here we've been following it. Maybe to some of yours ad nauseum, but we think it is so very important. That night, it was after our show went off air, the night that, when it passed, the one thing that I noticed, Mel, that Monday morning, and Mel and I, of course, have talked, that Monday morning at 5 a.m., those European analysts had faces as if there was a depression going on. You had British European, you had German in particular, and French, with faces as if someone died. They said, this is ridiculous. There is no such thing now as failure. Do you understand that the EU has just become the economy of Europe, that there will no longer be failure. There must be failure, for there can be no success. This is critical. The German people, as you know, Merkel took a huge hit Sunday. Her party did, the CDU. A huge hit. Why? Because those people are like you. Those people that voted Merkel in would be considered the conservative grassroots here now, or, for lack of a better term, the Tea Party people. They are very independent in certain areas that voted Merkel in and helped her sustain power in Parliament. They said no. No. The price of food in Europe is already inflated and high. When Europeans hit depression, bad things happen. Look at your history. The German people, in particular the paper Bild, railed on Merkel yesterday. They said, no. No, ma'am. We are not going to be Europe's ATM machine. And there's the EU, Mel, coming out all proud of themselves like peacocks. We've saved the euro. Don't you know what we've done? And in the meantime, every single European analyst in the economy and the people, for once, agreeing with their, quote, elite in the economy, looked at the EU and said, you arrogant ass, you've killed us. Now, beneath all of it, you find gold. Because why? Because currencies are about to fail. The euro will fail. It's just a matter of time. It was a $1 trillion Band-Aid. And now, Mel, Greece wants more money. France needs more money. Germany wants more. Here we go. Italy, Ireland, Portugal, Spain. Now their hands are getting held out. Just like here, there. Oh, did we say a trillion? More, please. We need another 500 million. Really. Now what's the EU going to do? And then the thing that set me into orbit, the Federal Reserve decides to open up the bank and flood the European markets with our dollar. Now, while all this is going on, gold is going up and up and up and up. Well, you would think, now, right, gold should stabilize. And, in fact, gold should go down. Because, as David Adam said, the people know what's going on. We are smart now out here. We don't need some egghead from Harvard explaining to us the economy. Because those of us buying now, not stocks, because I refuse to do that, but every other thing in the markets, currency, commodities, gold, oil. We lived through the 70s. We remember what rose. We remember what was shorted. Currency. That's what it's about. And that's what you're going to hear. That's why you saw Cameron and Clegg do what they did today. Take a very hard, almost like you said, Neil, libertarian stance. Now remember, the UK has huge social programs. So they are at the point they're so far left that they can't actually jerk the economy so far right. They'll pull it right over. So you're seeing a gentle pulling to right the ship, which could be, Mel, why the retirement age is being phased in instead of 53 to 67, in other words. They're going to phase it in over a course of a period of time. Gold hitting 5,000 is not such a big, it's not such a shock to me. It shouldn't beat anybody. But the stocks are manipulated. We know this. But for gold to jump now so high in such a short period of time, then who's buying gold? If the central banks aren't buying gold, well, we know, we've reported it here now. India, China, they're buying gold. Well, you would think, why? India and China own all the gold mines in Africa, South America. Well, why do you think they're buying gold? They've been buying it for the past 2 years. They're smart. India, for example, now their manufacturing numbers came out, rose 13.5% manufacturing past quarter. But what's going on here? Now, some might say it seems to be almost, are they doing it on purpose? Not conspiratorial, but looking at the facts. Is there going to be a definite pretend saving of the euro only to know that it's going to crash? Maybe. I don't think Obama really is smart enough. I don't think he cares about it, to be quite honest. Because Obama no longer is the golden boy. Cameron and Clegg are. He's been pushed off the scene very quickly. And now the ministers of Sarkozy, Merkel, we find out, Mel, tell them, who was on the phone with Merkel Sunday?
Obama?
Mm-hmm, you told me that.
All day Sunday.
Remember, right before the big bailout.
Yeah, now he's talking to Spain.
Yeah, great. Don't answer the phone. But you're damn right it affects you. And I'm sorry for those of you just graduating. Yes, I have to do it just because I can. I'm so proud of you, Sarah. I can't wait till Saturday. And my nephew who graduates in Massachusetts on Sunday.
Yep.
They've got a long road ahead of them. A very long road. And that's why I went back to Reagan today. Because he was the one from 76 to 80 that those of us in the wilderness looked for and looked to. And he pulled us out. But he didn't do it because it was him. He did it because he refused to let this country fail. And he looked at you, and he leveled the field. He got rid of the, quote, negativity. He took control of what he had to, which was foreign policy. And as far as everything else, he got government out of the way. And we had the greatest boon of success that we've ever seen in a very long time. But what the European Union did was take that away from the people of Europe. And they're angry tonight. So what you're going to see here is a continuation of the Bob Bennett effect. And John McCain will lose. And Rand Paul will be the senator. Can you believe it? I'm glad. I like him a lot.
He's running in what, Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah.
That's Bunning's seat, right?
Yes, and Bunning did endorse him. He was the first to endorse him, actually. He's good. Rand Paul, you know, I remember saying, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at him. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I just hope in foreign policy he's not like his father. He's not. He's very strong in foreign policy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, socially libertarian, yeah. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick, welcome everyone, everybody that's listening live at our other websites, and everybody that's in the chat room down in Texas, guest 6354, Infidel 007, like versus the moon bed. Rachel and Sarah, Dakota's mom, and Mike Burkholder, who was here. And it looks like he's henpecked because he had to leave because his wife came home.
Well, my husband's downstairs. Yeah, that matters.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. Quite the mental. What the hell's that?
21 years later, it matters. Who cares? So, you know, I know that a lot of you wonder why we spend so much time, right? Why on the economy? Why on Europe? Because if you don't understand what's coming, you're not going to know how to face it and fight it.
Right.
Don't think it's boring. You know, we could sit here and talk about, you know, Kagan. And briefly, I just want to say this on Kagan, because I'm really not going to waste time on this. Truly, I'm not. Barack Obama was elected president. Barack Obama can choose whoever the hell he chooses. The same way George W. Bush could choose whomever he wished. She's going to be confirmed. I'm sorry, unless something, you know, crazy comes out. She's going to be confirmed. I am not going to waste my energy on her. I'm just not. I've been through these so many times now. Even Hatch came out and said, well, we'll give you a good show, but I guarantee you she's going to be confirmed. Do I think she should be? Of course not. Do I think she's Harriet Myers? Actually, I don't think she has the same experience as Harriet Myers. Believe it or not, Harriet Myers has more. But when a president becomes elected president, he chooses who he wishes to sit on the court, which is why I am so adamant, and those are the two reasons why, about being president, foreign policy and Supreme Court. So you can, you know, I've read everything she's written. We know she's a communist. We know she's a socialist. Who cares if she's a lesbian? I don't care about that. I care about what she's going to do for the next, what, 30, 35, 40 years. But in the end, this is not a fight I personally am going to, you know, get crazy about. I just can't do it.
No, because he's going to stop it anyway.
Why? And you know they're going to do it before the election. You know that. You know Reid. You know they're going to push it and put it out there before November. The Dems will get in line, and I'm sure, oh, I predict probably 8 GOP will flock over to the dark side. This isn't about giving up, and it certainly isn't about supporting her, because I do not. But this is about sitting through way too many SCOTUS nominations to know. that if Orrin Hatch comes out and says it will be done, it will be done. So, you know, all of you wasting your time, you know, worry about, if, who cares? I don't care if she's a lesbian. I don't care if she's gay. I don't care. That's no never mind to me. I care about what she says, and we all know where she's going to go with it. And anyway, Mel, do you know Chaz Bono? She was Chassie, became Chaz Bono.
You mean she changed sexes?
Yeah, became a guy. Well, I tell you what, put a picture of Kagan and Chaz Bono, they're like twins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not that, you know, whatever, it's your deal. But all I'm saying is that should tell you something. Here in this house, we say release the Kagan, like release the Kraken. I mean, this woman, oy vey. So that's just my thing on Kagan. We just decided, man, I don't know if you disagree. I'm just not going to sit here and get all nuts over her. I just can't do it. I don't know.
Well, we couldn't stop it anyway, so why bitch about it?
Why bitch about something like that you just simply have no control over?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I love this. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick, Montreal and Moose advances to the Eastern Conference Finals after beating defending Stanley Cup champions Pittsburgh 5-2 in the seventh game at Pittsburgh. And right now, Philadelphia is ahead of Boston 2-0 with 8:20 to go in the third. And Boston was up 3-0. It looks like it's going to be a seventh game at Boston.
We have some interesting news to share with you all coming out of Maine. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen this or not. This can be found, by the way, at MainePolitics, all one word, .net, if you want to just look into this. The platform of the Maine GOP is changing. It's changing in a good way. And it's spooking out the GOP. For these changes at the grassroots level are becoming, and for all you conservatives, you better take a seat while I say this now. Libertarian. Ugh, I know. As far as fiscal policy. They're talking about the Austrian method, Austrian economy. Well, whenever you hear that, that means gold standard. But when I saw this clip today, which again, I all had tipped to Mr. Matthews on this. He brought this up on his show. He did it for a reason. He said, listen, there's a change going on out there that I don't even think the GOP is fully aware of. There are people getting involved that were my age and older, that the last time we were this engaged was when we got blisters for Reagan, when we were in our teens and 20s. There's something happening. But there's something else happening. The Democrats are joining us. Independents, so-called, are now labeling themselves as conservative. What's going on? Don't they know what Obama's done? He's done some great things. To them, what are great things? To us, are things that have destroyed our country. So we just wanted to bring a little bit of this to you. And there were long days ago, Mel, remember in elections when we could solidly count on Maine being red in the electoral map. And that changed. But now it looks like, it's going to be red again. The people of Maine want their state back. Why? What's changed? Was it Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins? Now, if you've been listening to Susan Collins now, she's absolutely, this is almost scaring me, by the way, sounding conservative. She's kind of doing a John McCain.
Mm. Yeah, well, I hope people won't fall for her crap.
I don't, they did a poll, quote, and a very good one, that if they had to vote for Snow or Collins again, would they? No, they wouldn't. Now, you can listen to the mainstream media. You can listen to the cable news. You can listen to all of that. I don't want you to, you know what? This is my advice. Ignore that and go directly to the local media of the particular states that you want to know of. I'm serious. In fact, in Ronald Reagan, go over their heads and go to the guy in the back row. He was famous for that. He used to make Sam Donaldson so damn mad. Reagan would go right for the guy from Des Moines in the back row in the press conferences. I want you to do that with your news now. Don't go to the big sites. Go to the guy in the back row. Go to the Des Moines Register. Go to the Concord paper. Go to Detroit. Go to Buffalo, New York. Go to the original sourcing and see what's going on. Because the GOP sure doesn't want you to know, but they are now getting signaled from within their caucuses and within their platforms of the particular states that the Bob Bennett days are over. The gray hairs are done. And there is a young, enthusiastic, and I'm sorry to tell everybody that doesn't agree with the libertarian viewpoint, libertarian core. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word. Especially fiscally. I am a fiscal libertarian. I am. No doubt about it. And I know to a lot of people now the social issues are a major deal. I understand that. They are to me too. But when Reagan ran for president, he didn't run on social issues. He brought those people along. Hence your famous three-legged stool. And he mentioned it. But it was about fiscal issues and foreign policy that made them go to him. Do you have that platform up now? That they
the PDF?
Yes.
Yeah, I got it.
They adopted Maine, the Maine GOP.
Yeah, this is from the... Oh, yeah. First, let's mention that they officially changed their name to Tea Party Libertarian.
Wow.
And that one link you sent me under Libertarian Republican, it said they officially goes Tea Party Libertarian now. But this is a PDF file. It's not very long. This is their new platform. Chair of the Republican State Convention. Subject, proposed amendment to the platform as put forward by the committee. Submitted by Knox County Republican Committee, the proposed platform shall be amended and the replacement platform adopted as follows. Preamble. In the course of a nation's history, it is natural that political philosophies will evolve which run contrary to the original principles evident at the time of the nation's founding. A nation founded in tyranny will, by its nature, spawn sentiment in direct opposition to that tyranny. Conversely, a nation which is dedicated to protecting the rights of its people and seeks to bind the excesses of power which naturally accrue to governments is subject to the evolution of factions which strive to throw off those shackles of restraint and gather power and influence over the people. Freedom is not a pre-existing condition into which everyone is delivered. Freedom and personal liberty are conditions of existence which are hard fought for and once won must be maintained. Each generation must be taught anew the importance of eternal vigilance against those who would disregard the limits imposed on government and usurp powers not granted to them by the people. Today, this state and the nation are in crisis precisely because we as a people have failed to maintain that vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
We have failed to pass down from one generation to another the critical knowledge and lessons that history provides. Well, that's the public education system. They don't teach you the truth or the history. We have let rot from within the foundation upon which freedom and prosperity must be built for it to survive. This election cycle is unique in the history of both this state and our nation. We are presented with a situation in which we, the people, must re-educate ourselves and our neighbors and put the knowledge of liberty to work in the elections this November. years of neglect have followed factions detrimental to the core principles of this nation to entrench themselves in both political parties and undermine the education of constitutional principles vital to the survival of the republic. The Tea Party movement is reminiscent of the principled revolt that led to the birth of the Republican Party in 1854. In June of that year, Horace Greeley referred to the newly formed Republican as united to restore the Union to its true mission of champion and promulgator of liberty. This year, it is incumbent upon those Republicans who strive to protect and defend our Constitution to reclaim that heritage. It is within this context that we, the citizens of Maine, united by free association as Republicans, dedicated to seeing the principles which brought forth the birth and ascendance of this state and these United States once again made dominant and pledge our unwavering allegiance, not to a political party, but to the Constitution of the State of Maine and the Constitution of the United States of America. The Republican Party is the vehicle through which we seek to better unify and promote those in pursuit of these goals.
The principles upon which the Republican Party was founded, to which we as citizens seek return, and to which we demand our elected officials abide, are summarized as follows. 1. The constitutions, both state and federal, are the framework to which any and all legislation must adhere. 2. State sovereignty must be regained and retained on all issues specifically related to the states by the Constitution. 3. National sovereignty shall be preserved and retained as dominant over any attempted unconstitutional usurpation of such by international treaty. 4. It is the responsibility and duty of we the people to educate both ourselves and others, to demand honest elections, free of corruption, and to hold our elected officials to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, and loyalty to the Constitution. In pursuant of these principles, we endorse and shall promote the following initiatives. 1. To form a more perfect union. A. All legislation must adhere to the restrictions outlined in the Constitution to protect the individual from intrusive government. B. Direct the state of Maine to join with other states in asserting our 10th Amendment sovereignty rights, which protect us from unconstitutional federal government intrusions. C. Insist on strict adherence to our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. D. Pass a, quote, read the bill, close quote, act to ensure clarity and eliminate the corruption associated with side issues, earmarks, porks, or riders. E. Oppose localism and diversity, the fairness doctrine, or whatever else such attempted restrictions are labeled. Any restriction on speech is by definition not free speech. F. Reject the Employee Free Choice Elimination Act as an unconscionable affront to the right to a secret vote. G. Restore integrity to the election progress. 1. Prohibit any public funding of advocacy groups such as ACORN, no matter what it is, or its affiliate organizations rename themselves, New York Communities for Change, New England United for Justice, etc. Conduct thorough investigations of their activities and voter fraud and prosecute violations. 2. Eliminate motor voter and other voter fraud mechanisms. Institute secure voter registration and identification systems. 3. Reject any effort to give foreign citizens the right to vote in the U.S. in any situation or capacity. H. Oppose any and all treaties with the U.N. or any other organization or country which surrenders U.S. sovereignty. Pick it up from there now. Specifically, reject the U.N.
Reject the U.N. Treaty on Rights of the Child. 2. Reject LOST, the Law of the Sea Treaty. 3. Reject any agreement which seeks to confiscate our firearms. I. Restore the process of assimilation of immigrants to preserve the benefits of an advanced, educated, and prosperous society. Rescind Maine's sanctuary state status. No amnesty, no benefits, no citizenship ever for anyone in the country illegally. Arrest and detain for a specified period of time anyone here illegally and then deport, period. I love that part.
Amen.
They passed a Congressional Reform Act, which includes the following positions. Term limits, 12 years only in any capacity, 2 6-year Senate terms, 6 2-year House terms, 1 6-year Senate term, and 3 2-year House terms. 2, no pension. 3, Congress participates in Social Security under the same rules as the general public. 4, Congress can no longer vote themselves a pay raise. 5, Congress participates in the same health care plan as the general public, no preferential plans or treatment. And 6, Congress is subject to and must abide by all the laws they impose on the general public. Well, that's going to be hard to enforce that. 2, or subsection 2, to establish justice. Subsection A, restore constitutional law as the basis for the judiciary. Subcategory B, reassert the principle that freedom of religion does not mean freedom from religion. Section 3, to ensure domestic tranquility. Subsection A, promote family values. Subsection I, marriage is an institution between a man and a woman. Subsection 2, parents, not government, are responsible for making decisions in the best interest of the children, whether disciplinary, educational, or medical. Subsection 3, we recognize the sanctity of life, which includes the unborn. Category 4, to provide for the common defense. Subsection A, discard political correctness. Make public the declaration of war, jihad made against the U.S. on February 23, 1998, and fight the war against the United States by radical Islam to win. Subsection B, seal the border and protect U.S. citizens along the border and everywhere, as is the prime directive of the federal government. 5, to promote the general welfare. Subsection A, return to the principles of Austrian economics and redirect the economy back to one of incentives to save and invest. To cut spending, balance the budget, and institute a plan for paying down debt, proclaim that generational debt shifting is immoral and unconscionable and will not be tolerated. Subsection C, pass and implement Fed Bill number 1207, introduced by Ron Paul, to audit the Federal Reserve as the first step in ending the Fed. Subsection D, return to transparent and honest reporting of economic statistics, free of gimmicks and distortions.
E, require the government and all its agencies adhere to the same GAAP accounting rules that businesses must follow. F, restore the provisions of welfare reform removed with the stimulus bill. G, defeat cap and trade. Investigate collusion between government and industry in the global warming myth and prosecute any illegal collusion. H, freeze current stimulus funds. Oh, I'm feeling so cheery right now. Prohibit any further stimulus bills and apply all unspent funds toward the debt they created. I, promote energy independence aggressively by removing the obstacles created by government to allow private development of our resources, natural gas, oil, coal, and nuclear power. J, institute zero-based budgeting on all programs. K, espouse and follow the principle. It is immoral to steal the property rightfully earned by one person and give it to another who has no claim or right with benefits. HRJK, clarify that health care is not a right. Okay, right now I just have to do this. Okay. It is a service. As a compassionate society, we will aid those in need. However, the government takeover of health care is not only unconstitutional, but detrimental to the entire healthcare system. Only market-based solutions will solve the problems. I, in the state of Maine, 1, remove the restrictions on healthcare providers, as was done in New Hampshire, to increase competition, drive down the costs, and increase the options available. A, bring Maine standards in line with national average. B, allow purchase of insurance across state lines. And then he has LD 290. C, enact tort reform as exemplified by Texas. D, eliminate Derrigo. What is that? DiRigo?
Let me look it up.
Okay. I don't know what that is. So, 5, 6. To secure the blessings of liberty, A, restore a vigorous grounding in the history and precepts of liberty, freedom, and the Constitution to the educational process. As Jefferson said, quote, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be, close quote. I, eliminate the Department of Education and restore schools to local control as specified in the Constitution. And finally, B, repeal and prohibit any participation and efforts to create a one-world government. This outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I looked up, I love that. I looked up DiRigo, and there's two different things. One is the seal of Maine, which means
right.
I direct or I lead. And the other one's DiRigo Health Agency Home, which is in Maine, part of the government. So I'm assuming it's the government initiative to provide all citizens with affordable health care coverage.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's what that is.
I put the link in the chat room. Oh, and in case anyone wants to know, this passed overwhelmingly and is now part of the platform of the GOP of Maine.
It stated that it was for the county.
It was submitted by the county mail to the GOP, to the Maine, to the Republican Party. It has been adopted.
GOP. Okay.
And right, and it is now part of the Maine GOP platform. This amendment that whomever wrote, I don't care, they're brilliant, all these people, this is what I want. When I read that this afternoon, and the reason that Chris Matthews was so animated in his warning to his fellow liberals was that this amendment is American. This is what's getting us excited out here. This is what we demand our politicians do, and for some reason it occurred in a state where nobody ever thought it could, Maine. I watched the vote take place. I'd say 90% voted yes, 10% ignoramus fools voted no. And the voting of the yes came with such enthusiasm. People were showing up that had never showed up before, my age and older. With that same feeling of, oh, God, what has the GOP done with Ford? Same thing.
What GOP with Ford?
Yeah, remember when they put Ford, when it was Ford and Reagan in the primary and they voted for Ford? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it
same
turned
thing.
Out actually better that way because Reagan would have lost to Carter anyway.
Well, that's just it. When you're in... When you're in the moment, you don't know that. You know, when you were in that moment and then you had to vote for Ford, it felt the same way as having to vote for McCain right now. You know,
God. I really didn't like that.
But if you look at our GOP, at the GOP, not my GOP, at the GOP, or anywhere, I don't see any presidential candidate, but I'm not worried about that right now. When I read this today, I said, this is it. This is it. This is, though, both a combination of libertarian viewpoints and social conservatism. So when you see and you wonder why is Ron Paul getting these votes? Why all of a sudden is libertarianism such a hot thing? Because politically, I'm going to tell you, it really is a draw to the younger crowd. It is. They like it. And those now just graduating are going to realize, where'd my money go? And you said I was going to get $50,000 a year. Where'd it go? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this generation that will be going out on their own, having to pay rent maybe for the first time, and their electric and gas bill, and food. The mommy and daddy have to let you go. You've graduated. You're on your own. It's a scary thing and a wonderful thing, but you're going to get slapped with reality. They are drawn to this libertarian type of situation, and this platform brings us conservatives with it. These are the things that are happening in the electorate tonight and have all weekend and will continue. This is why Rand Paul will be elected as the Republican choice. This is why J.D. Hayworth will too. And John McCain can make all these stupid commercials of him walking along the border, you know, build the fence, I'm with you. The most embarrassing, oh, man, these commercials of John McCain's are so embarrassing. They are pathetic.
He was so pro-amnesty for all these years. Do you think people are going to believe any of that crap?
No.
If they do, they're dumb.
That's the thing, though. And it's like that same dumb moment with Bennett. But he just couldn't realize, how did I lose? Because you guys are old. And I don't mean age old. I mean old. You live in a bubble. And the GOP is not the GOP of Grandpa. It's a more libertarian party. Actually, it's what the party was supposed to be. It's how it started. And that's why I like mailing that in that amendment that was passed and accepted. They want to get back to the party, if you noticed, of the birth of 1864. They want to go back there again. You know, Mal and I were talking, I don't believe in coincidence. You know, we were talking today about the GOP choosing Tampa, right, in August.
Yeah.
For their convention.
Now, who's that, the GOP or the Dems?
GOP. They voted on Tampa. Yeah, right? So we were laughing, oh, God, we could just see them melting in Tampa. And I said to Mel, they should go back to Springfield, Mass. They should go back to Springfield, Illinois. And they should stay there till they get it right. Now, they chickened out instead of going to Phoenix like they should have done, which was one of their three choices. It was Phoenix, Salt Lake City, or Tampa. Well, they weren't going to choose Salt Lake City because they didn't want to have the clash with Romney. Okay, so they didn't choose that one. Well, why didn't they choose Phoenix? Why didn't they support states' rights? What, because they think they're going to get the Hispanic vote? Dream on. You're not going to get it. I would have had, really, my respect meter might have moved for the Goops. But they didn't do it. So they choose Tampa. Mm-hmm. Well, all I know is watching the reporters now dripping in the middle of August or the end of August in Tampa. Oh, that'll be priceless. Big sweat stains all over them. Oh, stupid. But so they did.
There you go there. Hey, is Harry Reid here? I can smell them.
I smell the media.
Yeah.
Where are they? So keep that in your minds about what's really going on at the local level, at your Republican Party platforms. And now we need to hold the candidates true to these things. Because I'm sick and tired, Mel, of having platforms that are never adhered to. Either do away with them, or if you sign up to be a member and you run, and this is the platform that you're going to push, then you have to stick to it. This is a platform I could support. This is a platform I would push, and I would want a candidate to support.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliantly done. And my hat's off to the main. Was it Cook County? Yeah, in Maine, who came up with it as an amendment and was passed and adopted. A moment that no one knew about that occurred over the weekend. And I'm wondering, is this occurring in states and we just don't know about it? Because Michael Steele doesn't want you guys knowing this is going on out there. Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
He wants the money coming into the national office. He sure as hell don't want you sending money to Maine. Well, I tell you what, if I had money, I'd send it to the Maine GOP. If this is what they're going to do, that is a party I can stand for. It's solid. It says yes and no. It is black and white. You're illegal, get out. Declare this a war on Islam. and a jihad and win this war. I love it. Healthcare is not a right. It is a service. And yes, while we understand the need that we must take care of those that maybe cannot take care of themselves at the moment, we will make it a market. We will make the opportunity for free market solutions. This is all fantastic stuff. The Republicans should be flocking toward this. Why did I have to hear about this mail, of all places, Chris Matthews hardball? Because the guy is good. He's very good politically. He sees, he sees what's coming.
Oh,
and the liberals in the... Mm-hmm.
That was Knox County.
Knox County, thank you. And the liberals in the media don't want you to know, because if you do know that this is taking place, they're afraid. They won't be able to hold the news back from you, filter it from you. And why I said in the beginning of the show, please go to alternate sources, even within your own country. Call them up. Call up your local party, whatever it is. You know what you should do? And without even mentioning parties, call your local Democrat party. Call your conservative party, Libertarian, Republican party. Ask them to send you a copy of their platform. Look it up on their websites. Decide which one you could support. See who's running to represent you at those places. Do you know them? Now, everyone says you have to do it. You have to get involved politically. Personally, I think it's maybe too late for that nationally. But going with the Glenn Beck moment of the day, do it then.
I would like to see. I know it got defeated earlier. I think it was late last year. I think it got defeated, but I'd like to see a nationwide right to carry.
Oh, I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. But
yeah, I didn't make it out of committee last year.
Of course not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course not, but that is a great idea. But again, if you noticed in that main GOP platform, they were very stern on Second Amendment. But boom, right there.
Yep.
It must always be protected. In the wording of it is also what caught us. Very concise and clear and to the point. Don't tell me it's too hard to understand that. So we wanted to bring it to you because probably if you didn't watch Hardball, you wouldn't know, unless you lived in Maine, that this had happened. So if you are involved in your local politics in the GOP, or if you're involved in any other party, I put the link in the chat room. Copy it. Bring it to them. Send it to them. I want this. I want this. It's good. It's very Maine-like. It's very New England-like. This was the New England I knew growing up. Nothing about being independent, but being an American. Everything in there is an American concept. So good for them. Today is Jerusalem Day. So I didn't want that to go by. Happy Jerusalem Day, Mel. Our friends in Israel were celebrating today. 43rd anniversary of the unification of Jerusalem. So congratulations to them. And Netanyahu was fantastic today, as he usually is, on Jerusalem. And he said it will never be disunited. It is an indivisible capital. Get over it. We're going to build, and we were going to continue to build. Jerusalem is ours. We will develop, plan, and create in Jerusalem. And it's our and our right to do it. We will never divide it. He also, quite humorously, this made me laugh, brought up all the incidences in the Bible where Jerusalem is mentioned. All right, so here he is, and he says, let me see if I can get this real quick. This is out of the Jerusalem Post. Beset by questions about Jerusalem's future in talks with the Palestinians, Netanyahu reached for the Bible. On Wednesday, to stake out the Jewish state's contested claim on the city. Netanyahu told a parliamentary session commemorating the unification and capture of East Jerusalem from Jordan in 67 that Jerusalem and its alternative Hebrew name Zion appears 850 times in the Old Testament, which of course is Judaism's core canon. As to how many times Jerusalem is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures of other faiths, he says, I recommend you check. Citing such ancestry, Israel calls all Jerusalem its eternal and indivisible capital, a designation not recognized abroad, where many powers support Arab claims to East Jerusalem as the capital of a future Palestinian state. Netanyahu was heckled by an Israeli Arab minority as he was standing at the lectern. He answered, well, because you asked, Jerusalem is mentioned 142 times in the New Testament, and none of the 16 various Arabic names for Jerusalem is mentioned in the Quran. He was making a point, I think, quite clearly. Jews say 850 times, the Christians mention it 142 times in their New Testament, and you, none. Netanyahu picked up the Bible in Parliament in front of the Knesset. It was a slap in the face and a nice one. So good job, Bibi. Good job. Now, of course, Livni Mail, you should have seen her today. Oh, she was all upset. How could he have done this, bring religion and smack it in the face of the Muslims? Oh, shut up. This is why you're not prime minister, you old cow. She's worried that it's going to hurt talks. Okay, enough. Enough. I think Netanyahu's at the point, don't you? I think he gets it. Talking's over. In big bad United States, you can continue to say what you want, because tonight after Benjamin Netanyahu gave his little speech there and smacked down the old Arab heckler, who I loved it. I need to get an audio of that in English. The State Department issues a statement saying, we really hope that both sides would refrain from such rhetoric, which was, of course, a diss at Netanyahu, which he replied basically, too bad, shut up, Hillary, I'm not listening to you. So you can place me in the garbage along with the Dalai Lama, but I am not going to listen to you. You have no power here. You have no idea here. Instead of congratulating and celebrating with Jerusalem, a huge day, they diss Jerusalem from this regime. That would be Obama. No. No. So what a wonderful day. Congratulations. Our brothers and sisters in Israel, keep up the good fight. I know I am the good Christian Jew over here. I stand Mazel Tov. I stand with you always, boys. Anything else foreign policy-wise? Not really, to be honest with you. Things are basically status quo. People are dying in Iraq. People are dying in Afghanistan. Of course, Karzai was here. They did the kiss, kiss, nice, nice. Nothing major here. Oh, there was one thing. Very major, actually, over this past week. Barack Obama has decided to continue his sellout of American secrets and nuclear secrets and technology with Russia. He decided he's going to give civilian nuclear secrets to Russia as a, quote, reward for all their help with Iran, quote, quote. So we're going to sell Russia our nuclear technology, akin to what, what's his face there, cigar guy, Clinton did with China. So we're going to do that with Russia because they've been so helpful with Iran. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm waiting for that. I'm still wondering where that help was. But as far as foreign policy is concerned, Obama hasn't stepped into it except for that, which, of course, was huge. It's been quiet since we've talked to you last. Except for Darfur. That is my one warning to keep on the back radar. The rebels in Darfur are back at it again. And I'm not talking about the humanitarian George Clooney weepy Darfur. I'm talking about the real-life massacres that are going on. And this seems to be eternal struggle between Christians and Muslims. So Mel and I were talking today. Every single conflict everywhere now around the globe is a fight, when you go strip it all down, between Christians and Muslims. It is. But I know we don't want to recognize it. We're afraid to say it. So until we do, like the main amendment said to the GOP platform, recognize it as a war and eradicate it. Win it and be done with it. Although you would be glad to know that Barack Obama has decided that by the end of July 2011, our troops will be withdrawn from Afghanistan. So it was reported yesterday, or the day before, pardon me, that our commanders in NATO basically give us 7 months to handle Kandahar. All right. Why did they tell me that? Why are they giving such detailed interviews with the UK Times? This isn't sourcing. These are direct sources coming from the generals from NATO. Why do they do this? I constantly ask myself. And then I've just given up here. It's obvious they're not going to fight the war to win it, so I guess I will put my 1965, 66, 67 hat on, and I'm simply going to say, bring them home. I want the troops home right now, because you're not fighting this war. You're killing our men. For political gain only. Seven months to win Kandahar. We have to win their hearts and minds. It's good for Sharia law, for local needs, local conflicts. No, 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 enough, enough, enough.
You know, that was the title of one of the episodes on V.
What's that?
Hearts and Minds. Hearts and Minds.
Was it really?
Yep. I'm telling you, that show is a direct representation of what's going on, you know, with the U.S. government.
I believe you're right. This is from the UK Times. The campaign to drive the Taliban out of Kandahar province has until the end of the year to succeed if it is to capitalize on maximum troop numbers and political unity, NATO commanders said to the Times. This is from Brigadier General Frederick Hodges. So this isn't just a quote from a source. It's from him. Our mission is to show irreversible momentum by the end of 2010. That's the clock I'm using. We'll never have more capacity than we have by late summer 2010. We, quote, I'll never have it any better, in other words. This is the best I'm going to have. Oh, the code name is Hamkari, which is the Dari word for cooperation. What? The very code name of the campaign is the Dari word for cooperation. I give up on this Pentagon and NATO, all of them. Enough. This is a joke. This is a game. This isn't a war. It's not. You can send in the UN to do this. You can send in peacekeepers to do this. You can send in Barack Obama, AmeriCorps to do this. But not our military. It's not what they're for. And they're dying. And they're dying, and the numbers are going up and up and up. And I know as conservatives, it's very hard to recognize that when we say it's time to bring the troops home, it does not mean I'm burning the draft card in my bra in the middle of, you know, Times Square. Grow up. it means that I'm a realist and I see that the Pentagon has been corrupted by globalists, by Obama. He has no intention, nor ever. He knew this. He told us this. This isn't something new. He told us this when he was running. We knew this was coming. But I think as conservatives, of a lot of us who have this very real and heartfelt love of the military, find it very difficult now to criticize them. I know I did. It took me months. And I finally said, that's it. I've had enough of this. And that was the crystal light that set me off there. There's a war. But to them, they're just going to wait, by the way. Oh, and the Taliban, just so everyone knows, since we're being so open and cooperative and hamkari about it, the Taliban said, that's all right, we'll just wait. We'll wait. You'll be out of Kandahar, which, by the way, is our spiritual center, by the end of 2010. And since the crystal has already told us every move, every single move he's going to make, we'll just flood that area, kill as many of you as we can, and beat the hell out of the citizenry. Because you're leaving, and then they're ours again. Can't blame Bush for this. Can't blame the men and women on the ground. They're following orders. Question is, who came up with these buttes? That would be the Pentagon, NATO, and Barack Obama, McChrystal, and shame on Petraeus. Shame on him. I counted on him, Mal. I counted on this guy to either stand up to this administration or to resign. And please don't give me the reason he's staying in there is to protect the troops. That's bull. You stay in there and you allow this by being silent. You do so. You're supporting it by your silence. I see no principles here. I don't see military leaders. I see military followers. You notice we're getting no reports of resistance between the Pentagon and the administration. And I don't care what administration it is, Republican, Democrat, or Communist. I don't care who you are. There's always reports of conflict, be it with Pentagon and Bush or the Pentagon and Clinton. You notice we're not hearing any of that? Why? There has to be. No? Maybe not. Maybe they agree with Obama. I know they have to follow orders. I understand that. But when does principle come into this? When does a general get to the point where he says, I'm not going to send these men into a buzzsaw. I won't do it. It's part of being a leader and a general. I do understand, believe me. Politicians, civilian control, civilian command. I understand. But where's Congress? Where's Congress speaking out on this? Saying, okay, well, now that we know the code name, and now that we know the dates, why are we even bothering? I don't know. Well, what's the point? We can send drones in there for this. What is the point? You didn't do it right the first time. And forgive me, George W. Bush, as I look at your picture right now. You blew it. This should have been done in what, Mel? What did we say, a year? A couple months? A year? Boom, done.
No, shoot, they could have had it all done in a month. Then maybe it had taken a year to mop up.
I mean, think about it. It only took 4 or 5 years for World War II, everybody. Okay.
And that was a heck of a lot bigger war.
And we have bigger bombs.
Yeah, better ones. Plus we have those, like I was telling you this afternoon, they got this new unmanned airplane now that Boeing just came out with. It's a one-wing deal, the V shape, like the kind of like the stealth bomber, fighter bomber. And it can carry a payload so it can drop bombs.
That's all we need.
Yep.
I remember after, I think it was in 2004, I was watching Dennis Miller do a comedy show on HBO. And he said, you realize we could pay some 12-year-old sitting in a recliner at home to do the war. Seriously, think about it. Be like a big Nintendo thing to this kid, big Wii. But as I said here before, foreign policy from the United States has constantly been about balance. And that's an okay thing, because we do not conquer. Hence, we are not an empire, contrary to the socialists out there. We don't go around conquering lands. Okay, that's just not in our DNA. We don't do that. But for some reason, and I guess we can go back to the 60s, maybe even 50s for this, we got tired, we got lazy, and we got a little too international. And we've decided to go along with the international flow and get that balance. No. You go in, you destroy, and then you help. Your helping now is destroying yourself. And they know it. And they're going to suck everything out of you. We can't be about that anymore. We need to crush them. They'll play the game for next 200-300 years, if we're even here that long. This isn't a struggle that's gone on just recently. This has gone on for hundreds of years. They're that patient. We're that ignorant. Believe me, I don't like the Catholic Church, as you all know. And I don't like that in the Crusades they went after the Jews either. But as far as going after the Muslims, that's the one thing the church did right. That's it. That's all. That's the only good thing I'll give to the Catholic Church now. That's it. I can't go any farther than that. But, you know, growing up in school, we always learned the Crusades were evil. Mm-hmm. We sure did. I don't know, thinking about it now, were they? Or were they just a precursor?
Yep.
Well, Arnold's up to no good out in California. Funny as hell, I tell you what. He's out there, he's saying, okay, everybody, I got some terrible cuts coming. Terrible and drastic cuts coming to California. Now, this on the heels of my governor, the blind sheik of New York, Patterson, who's decided to furlough state employees for one day, but in the same breath, giving his staff a 30% raise. But anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's going to estimate $18.6 billion budget deficit facing those populous U.S. states through June of 2011. We can't get through it, says Schwarzenegger, without terrible cuts. We can't raise taxes now, can we? Look, stop. Please stop. In January, the governor said California will have to eliminate entire welfare programs, including the main one that provides cash and job assistance to families below the poverty line, without an influx of cash from the federal government. New York said they need more cash from the federal government. California says they need more cash from the federal government.
Yeah.
Michigan, I'm sure, Mal, you and...
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're talking, oh, God, I don't, was it like $26
billion? And this is why we talk about Greece. We've seen this coming a year ago, 6 months ago I was on Greece. Why? I knew it. When you have 39 states bankrupt or about to go bankrupt. And Texas now. Texas, what's with you, Texas? You're now in trouble wanting to legalize gambling, which I have no problem with, by the way. But you're finding that your surplus has hit the toilet. Now you need more money.
Could it be
now what the hell is...
All those illegals they have?
It's all a lie is what it is. These governors have been whistling Dixie and sunshine up everybody's skirts for far too long. But you know what? There comes a point when there is no money left. There's just nothing left there. And I remember the times when people would go to the bank, and again, this was in the late 70s, and their checks would bounce. Mm-hmm. This is before direct deposit, everybody, when you've got a real check in your hand. And you would go up to the bank, and it would bounce. Think about that. And whether we like it or not, our country is so enveloped, and especially areas such as here in Buffalo, New York, for state employment, for government employment. If checks start to bounce, people are getting furloughed. There will be cities like Buffalo that will, I don't know if they'd riot necessarily, they might. But more than likely in this area, there would be such a malaise and such a depression, and such a flood out, you wouldn't even be able to travel on the 90. It would be jam-packed. That's the throughway out of here, in both directions. People would just get, it would be like a dust bowl situation, Mel. See, that's what I see. I see this economic dust bowl coming. You know, we're going to be in states, and it's just going to be, we can't do it anymore. We're going to put in our cars and our trucks, whatever we can take, take whatever money we have, and leave the rest behind. But we've talked about this here, too, before, which is what I think they want. They want you to flood toward the cities in an almost RoboCop fashion. Corral you, contain you within certain areas of the state, and then out there is the no man's land or the wild zone. I know, it sounds very Mad Max and very RoboCop, but who knew that we'd ever be to the day where entire countries, we were worried about defaulting. I don't think we ever thought we'd see it. We've seen cities do it, but sure as shooting, I don't think we thought we'd see countries do it. Oh, the one thing about Israel, Mail, we wanted to bring up was about the sighting of the whale. I don't want to forget about that. The appearance of a gray whale off the coast of Israel has stunned scientists. It's thought to be the first time the mammal was seen outside the Pacific in several hundred years. You got that right. The whale, which was first sighted off Hezila in central Israel on Saturday, is to believe it traveled thousands of miles from the North Pacific. It's unbelievable, and an unbelievable event, which has been described as one of the most important sightings of a whale ever seen. What has amazed the entire marine mammal research community is there hasn't been any gray whales in the Atlantic since the 18th century. This is an
like Felix says in the chat room, it sounds like an omen to me, and that's what I said to Rachel.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, Jonah and the whale.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think. I mean, these are animals that are supposed to live in the Pacific. And this is just wrong. I think it's an omen. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. I certainly do. I don't believe in coincidences, and I don't think it was just some lone whale that got lost. I think that's a great scientific way of putting things. But I just don't believe that. Not to get religious, but faithfully I will say that God says he will make all things known. And there are too many things being made known, either archaeologically or things such as this, sightings in the sky. Then we get a report that Jupiter's lower ring on Jupiter, did you see this snail loses one of its stripes? This is amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. The southern equatorial belt. So it was that. It was the real dark, if you take Jupiter and kind of look at it in your mind's eye, the real dark band underneath, say, the equator of Jupiter, it's disappeared. It's gone. They don't know what the hell happened to it. They call it the southern equatorial. Yeah. Jupiter has lost one of its iconic red stripes, and scientists are baffled. They don't know why. The largest planet in our solar system, I'm reading this, by the way, from the dailymail.co.uk, the largest planet in our solar system is usually dominated by two dark bands in its atmosphere, one in the northern and one in the southern. However, the most recent images taken by astronomers, that word, Mel, did I say that right? Astronomers? Have revealed the lower stripe, known as the southern equatorial belt, has disappeared, leaving the southern half of the planet bare. The band was present in at the end of last year before Jupiter ducked behind the sun. However, when it emerged 3 months later, the belt was gone. Just gone. Now, it's not the first time it's happened. Jupiter loses or regains one of its belts every 15 years, but nobody knows why. It was obvious last year that it was fading. However, 3 months later, to have a belt disappear is truly a phenomenon. That's just, boom, gone. Sorry, gone. There are changes happening. I just believe it. I believe that there are. Who knows what's going on in this great world? You got anything, Mel?
No, I just wanted to say that Philadelphia beat Boston, so that'll go to Game 7 on Friday.
Okay, well, good. There is some news about an Army captain from Colorado. He has been found guilty, convicted of lesser charges. Oh, God. An Army captain from Colorado charged with killing two Iraqi civilians has been convicted of lesser charges in Iraq. Military officials say Captain Carl Vajork was found guilty of reckless endangerment and negligent homicide in a general court-martial on Tuesday. He was reprimanded and will lose a third of his salary for 1 year. He's from Evergreen, Colorado, deployed in 06 with the 1st Battalion, 36th Infantry Regiment near Hit, Iraq. He was charged with two counts of premeditated murder in the slaying of two detainees and one charge of reckless endangerment. His father was actually pleased and said it was a victory and relief for everyone. So,
I got something here. This is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists find sunken islands in the Caribbean.
Sure.
Yeah, German scientists announced on Monday they believe they have discovered sunken islands in the Caribbean Ocean following a deep sea expedition in April. During their 6 weeks in the waters up north of Venezuela and west of the Antilles, the experts from the University of Greifswald analyzed rock samples from depths of more than 1,000 meters. The meteor crew then used echo sounding to measure the ocean floor, an exercise which revealed significant differences in depth compared to current marine charts. In fact, some of the underwater mountains listed on charts did not exist at all, while other areas thought to be flat showed rises of up to 1,000 meters. Geologist Martin Macheda said, team's biggest surprise came from the samples they dredged from the ocean floor, which showed stones they could have only come from very shallow depths. We found remnants of coral, snails, and algae that are only found in a light, flooded upper level of the sea, Macheda said. As a result of their findings, the scientists believe that submarine mountains whose summits now top out at between 800 and 1,000 meters below the surface were volcanic islands in the Caribbean Sea some 40 to 50 million years ago. The Greifswald group hypothesizes that they were part of a reef that grew on a basalt platform and sank during a seismic event in the ocean's crust. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. See? Things made known. Things are crazy out there. There's so much news. And the news just seems to flow. Makes sense. Oh, here we go. This is breaking out of the UK. Oh, this is beautiful. Somali pirates have seized a Greek ship. Well,
uh-oh.
Where are you going to get the money from? You better ask the EU. Greece doesn't have any money. So taking that ship was kind of a big boo-boo. Wrong ship. Pirates have seized a Greek-owned ship with 23 people on board in the Gulf of Aden. The LNEP, which is managed by Eurobulk, was carrying a cargo of iron ore from the Black Sea to China. Oh, great. More crap to China. The ship was seized off the coast of Somalia, and blah, blah, blah. Look, he's dealing with these pirates, as every flipping European nation does, except for Russia, who destroys them. And this is what they're going to do. How many times do we have to say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kill them like Putin did.
Just kill them.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I got another scientific oddity. Grill frozen in time may hold the key to aging. American scientists are keenly studying the DNA of a 17-year-old girl who has the body and behavior of a 1-year-old baby.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh. Scientists are hoping to gain new insights into the mysteries of aging by sequencing the genome of a 17-year-old girl. Of a 17-year-old girl who has the body and behavior of a tiny toddler. Brooke Greenberg is old enough to drive a car and next year will be old enough to vote. But at 16 pounds in weight and just 30 inches tall, she's still the size of a 1-year-old.
Wow.
Until recently, she had been regarded as a medical oddity, but a preliminary study of her DNA has suggested her failure to grow could be linked to defects in the genes that make the rest of humanity grow old. If confirmed, the research could give scientists a fresh understanding of aging and even suggest new therapies for diseases like old age. We think that Brooke's condition presents us with a unique opportunity to understand the process of aging, says Richard Walker, a professor of the University of South Florida School of Medicine, who is leading the research team. We think that she has a mutation in the genes that control her aging and development so that she appears to have been frozen in time. If we can compare her genome to the normal version, then we might be able to find those genes and see exactly what they do and how to control them.
Mm-hmm.
Such research will be the focus of a conference at the Royal Society in London this week. To be attended by some of the world's leading age researchers. It follows a series of scientific breakthroughs showing that the lifespan of many animals can be dramatically extended by making minute changes in single genes. The work began with tiny worms known as C. elegans, which normally live for only about a fortnight. Researchers have been able to extend their lifespan by up to 10 weeks by making small changes in certain genes. Scientists have gone on to discover that mutating the same genes in mice had the same effect. Mice are genetically very close to humans, said Cynthia Kenyon, professor of biochemistry at the University of California, San Francisco, who is a key speaker at the Royal Society. The implication that aging is controlled by a relatively small number of genes and that we might be able to target these with new therapies would improve the quality and length of human life. The laboratory findings have been supported by research into humans, focusing on families whose members are long-lived. In one recent study, Eileen Slagboom, professor of molecular epidemiology at Leiden University of Holland, collected data on 30,500 people and 500 long-lived families to find the metabolic and genetic factors that make them special. Mm-hmm. Such people simply age slower than the rest of us, she said. Their skin is better, they have less risk of diseases of old age like diabetes, heart disease, and hypertension, and their ability to metabolize lipids and other nutrients is better. Question is, what is controlling all these different manifestations of slow aging? I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. Quickly about the news about L.A. boycotting Arizona. We know. You want to do something about it, don't buy anything from California. How's that? And that includes movies and music.
Yep, boycott everything from California. Just to remind everyone, I'll be here on Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the third segment of Abraham Lincoln's autobiography. Right by Henry Ketchum. So join me then at 9:30 p.m. And thanks everybody for being here. So what should we play for a good night song? Oh, here we go. I'll play this.